You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap?
We are Quantum Leap Book Club, and we are sponsored by LOA Radio Network. And we have a fantastic conclusion to one of our wonderful, exciting books, Mind Into Matter by Dr. Fred Alan Wolfe. My co-hosts join me this week. I am Parisha, your host. I have Rose Marie Heyer in Frankfurt, Germany. I have Joyce Mollenhauer, Dr. Joyce Mollenhauer from Kingman, Arizona. And I have Trina Cooper from Denver. Nonetheless, you're probably snowed in over your head up there in Denver, Colorado. And we have Mike Dillard, actually from Quebec, up somewhere up there around Montreal. And then we have, I don't see her, but Marianne Love in Melbourne, Australia. And we have Geraldine Dalby Ball in Sydney, Australia. And we have Mary Smith somewhere along there that I'm seeing actually on my video. So welcome everybody. And this week, we actually conclude our wonderful book. This book has become like a friend to me. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's almost like saying goodbye to a friend or see you later to a friend, because I know I don't ever put this book on the shelf. This book always lays flat on the desk out in the open. And the many, many particular programs I'm doing these days by Zoom and everything's kind of cool. I like this, that I've actually begun to emerge more into definitely into space and time in a different way in the virtual world, because I've really been transferring around and traveling the world and seldom if ever home, because I'm somewhere else somewhere. But this is real cool that I'm sitting in my own little comforting place and in my sanctuary and just talking and talking and talking and seeing all kinds of pretty faces and happy people. So when we come to this week, we're actually going to be studying and concluding with the appendix. And there's most of what's here is a review. And especially since all during the time that the communications and you've been sending to us, you've been actually asking a lot of questions about the parallel worlds. And a lot of you obviously are doubtful, definitely natural. Okay, nothing wrong with that. You have to actually have more experience before you can become sure of anything. And this particular ending, I think, helps us with that, because it gives you the ability to experience actually knowing how easily it is that you slip through the parallel worlds, especially when we start to examine the particular little box that he creates. And you would have to have your book. So if you're listening and you've learned to just sit and listen to us chatter, please get your book out, because you'll want to follow us with the book this week, because there are definitely pictures and particular things we're going to want you to look at. This box, obviously, where you can actually jump into time. I realize that after as many times as I worked for this week, just looking at it quickly for the review for today, I actually realized that looking at that box, I challenged the rest of you co-hosts to do this, because you've been around with this book quite a long time yourself. I see 8 parallels. I can see this box from 8 different directions. So play with it. Actually go into the gaze. Just stare at it and don't give up. You know, sit there for a while. It might take you a couple of minutes, even a few seconds, but stay with it and stare at it and watch how many sides you see. And after a while, it starts to move and tumble for you. It really does. So definitely play with that. And this week I've asked my co-host to kind of just jump in and share. And Mike and Mary, all of you are invited to share at whatever point you want to on it. And I love the particular little quote that we have here when it says the chapter, the appendix is existence, mind in a box. Okay. And then I'll quote, I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are details. That's Albert Einstein. And I have that written, and I've had that with me for, it has to be 40 something years. I look at that often, because that is about the most powerful statement from the bottom of my heart, this is exactly what I live and what I seek and how I experience life. I just want to know how God sees it and how those thoughts are and what, how much of that is in me and how I'm experiencing it. And like it says, the rest are just details. So as we go through here, I'm going to ask you to come forward and start actually sharing. So Marianne Love, you want to start sharing from what part of the appendix that you got excited about and started looking at?
Ah, yeah. This has been amazing to me because this part of the appendix kind of puts it all together and gives you a really good example. I think in a way I didn't quite get it all until I read this part of the appendix. It's jumped out at, I can't believe reading this book. I've read it that many times and I feel like every time I read it, I understand something new about it. And I've read it, it's just crazy to me. Like it's like the picture that pops out and you see the cube from a different angle. It happens when you read this book and read his words as well. So I thought, I'm not sure if you want me to go from the beginning or you just want me to give an overview.
I want you to just be spontaneous and take it from where you got the most excited and what this time really gelled for you. What do you come away with after reading it again?
This time for me, I'd always thought that in some of the quantum physics that I'd read, that it was the observer effect. So through observing, we create the reality that we see. By observing, it emerges. And before we observed it, it was waves of possibility, which is what he's saying as one of the options in this appendix. That's an option that could be happening. But the other option that he's saying, and I feel he said it all the way through this book, is that it all already exists in the parallel worlds. Yes. And the act of observing doesn't create it because it's already existing. The act of observing simply means that we experience it in our real or in our realm of what we're observing. So it all actually exists. It's not that it's sitting in waveforms and suddenly pops out into our existence. It's all existing. And we enter the parallel by observing which parallel we want to, whatever we believe or we want to experience. Yeah. And that's a game changer, really. That means if I want anything, it all already exists. So I just simply have to observe it, and that's the reality I'll experience. Yes. And it helps me understand more of what you've shared, Grandmother, in when you say, like, if you're going to change something, I always see that you almost don't see the negative. You only see the outcome. And I can see why you do that now, because all it is that both exist and you're only manifesting the one that you want to see the outcome of. Yes. So it's sort of like all coming together, which is, it's great. And so the examples in here are really good. It took me a while to get my head really around it. So I encourage people to read it and reread it and then look at the pictures and things just to see what he's talking about.
Yes. Well, it's like, again, you know, Daryl Jean shared it last week. I begin my day, and it isn't something I think about anymore. I mean, I begin when I actually put myself in position and know that I'm getting ready to proceed with what I would say is the new day, okay? Because you have to realize sometimes I don't sleep, but I know that on the particular timeline, I know that I start this new day, okay? And automatically what comes up is, in this day, I will touch 1,000 beautiful things, 100 sacred things, and see 1,000 beautiful things. So I don't look for anything all day other than to fulfill that 1,000 beautiful things. And when you do that, you don't really have time. You're aware the negative is there, but it only becomes part of you when you dig in and actually affiliate with it. And God knows there's a lot of that available if you want it. You know what I mean? You can play victim. But I just decided I don't want to do that. And I can't even tell you how far back that started. I remember being a very happy child in some pretty horrendous situations. That when if I tell you what was going on, you'd think, wow, that was pretty intense, or that was pretty heavy. No. To me, I look back at it, and all I remember is love and playfulness and laughter, the child that never gives up, you know what I mean? And that's what you all are learning with this. And I think that I give Wolf credit for a lot of this, because it's like, you know, I found reality in what I was experiencing by actually studying his books and coming to know him, because he's quite a character. Okay. And so, yeah, I agree with you, Marianne. It's wonderful. And Marianne, have you read it enough to actually give us a little bit of a shift here? Tell us what the difference is between Newtonian physics and quantum physics. Do you have any particular with that? If not, maybe Mike Dallara could step in and do that for us.
I think Mike would be able to word that really well.
We put all the structure stuff on Mike, don't we?
Thanks, guys. Newtonian physics is basically, it is obviously based on the theories of Newton. And those are good. I mean, they work very well. They, you know, we can send satellites up to the moon and stuff, and it works. So it's pretty good. The problem is when it gets down to the very, very, very small, all of a sudden it doesn't work. So quantum physics or quantum mathematics takes care of what happens at what are very, very small. Quanta are supposed to represent the smallest pieces of measurable anything. So those would be quanta. Some people have called them, there's another word they use, I'll think of it, but it, I'm sorry, quanta. Basically, that's where quantum comes from, is very small quanta. So that's what it is.
It does. And it also is very clear that in the classic laws deal with what we would call actuality, real. Okay. And when we come to quantum physics, we're dealing with the unseen and more the spirit and the, like you said, the actual inside effects of everything. Very, very, and possibilities. I love the word possibilities. I can't even say that word without smiling. Possibilities are everywhere. And all you need to do is just determine what of them you want to play with. It's like being in a candy store with 1,000,000,000 flavors. Which one, where do you want to start? You know? Wonderful. Okay, so let's move on and let's, who wants to talk next? You got the little list there someplace? Who's talking next?
Hi, Trina.
Yes.
It's me.
Are you frozen up there yet, Trina?
You know, it's pretty cold. It's probably about 19 degrees outside right now. Okay. But it's supposed to be closer to 50 tomorrow, so that'll be great. Nice warm up.
I see that shift you're doing. I see that shift.
Yeah.
Better day tomorrow. Okay, very good.
Snow will melt and it'll be sunny and bright.
That's good. So what you got? What you want to share?
Well, you know, I do love these Hebrew letters. And when I read Yod and there was one sentence in there, it said, "For as we become aware of existence, we change it." And this was all about being in existence. But it kind of threw me back to what we were talking about last week, which was Aleph in Yod. So spirit in existence and the impact that also circled me back to those axioms of desire and the fact that spirit gets moved by desire and we are constantly being motivated by what we observe, how we think, what we feel, what we sense, our intuition, all of those pieces. So all of a sudden, all this back, the stuff that was in the book earlier, all of a sudden came flooding back in just reading the first page, which was just amazing to me. And then moving into on the next page where it was existence, mind in a box. And I went, oh, wow, why do we need to be limited in a box? You know, it was like, we come into existence and we have to be in a box. And that really hit me. And then I could see why Albert Einstein said, I want to see how God thinks, because it's like, that's how I feel all the time. It's like, why do I have to live like this? Why can't I think the way he does and drop in the possibilities or she does? But what was really great for me in this chapter was looking at the fact that there were these different perspectives and that science has changed over time. And we started out with that idea of Newtonian, which was, this is how it is, and it evolves like this, and there was like structure, and it's in a box. And then we move into Bohr's idea of the observer, that something pops in when we observe it, And then we move into that other whole many worlds interpretation that was there that said, oh, it all exists, but you become aware of it. So you can choose which awareness you want. And I was like, wow, that makes so much sense to me. So it really came down to the perspective. And the other piece that really hit me was that the idea that one observer would see something and then another person could come in. And if there's an agreement, then all of a sudden it comes into existence.
Yes.
A third person can come in and they might agree, and it even gets stronger in that field. And it's like you all of a sudden you have all these people. They have what they're seeing on one side. They have the other part that exists, but they're completely blind to it. They're not seeing it. And they've all created an agreement or a consensus over it. And I was like, wow. So sometimes he talks about interference. And if you drop in those other perspectives, this is the way I was looking at it, was if you can drop in those perspectives, then it creates that haziness. It creates that where we moved into the box where we could see the gray when they overlap each other. And then all of a sudden there's possibilities of seeing other perspectives and not being locked into one.
Yes.
I can see that extremely effective in the world, especially when things are polarized and you look at those and go, wow, you've got this whole group looking this way and another whole group that sees the same thing, but they see it this way. And how do we work in the middle? What kind of questions do we ask? How do we bring both of those sides into a way of perceiving or understanding the other views and create that reality that you really want to see and move into? So this chapter was so practical. And like Marianne said, it was like a review of the whole book and just going, wow, this is awesome. Oh, I get this now.
Makes almost sense now, right? Joyce is excited too, because she actually asked to be able to speak toward the end of the program because she's had an epiphany, okay? And what this means, and you came very close here and shared it, very powerful. This is the power of a collective. When there's more than one of us, when we gather in mind, you know, when we brainstorm in unity, and when we do that with a possibility or a focus, an intent, and we say that we come together in consciousness in for unity and peace, we make that real. And the more of us, the many of us that can come together in just that thought, in our own individual way, each one of us individually experiencing what the value of that is. Look at how fast this world can become this beautiful jewel that it is, where Mother Earth can be this wonderful, wonderful experience of bliss in heaven. And so basically what I feel is happening, especially with all of you, because you're so close to me, okay, there's all kinds of lights turning on around you, another whole phase of it, you know, so you're dimensionalizing right before my eyes, you know, you're actually saying, oh my God, yeah, of course, that's what it is. And maybe just 2 years ago, I saw you laboring and scrunching up your face, like, what is she talking about? What was that? Where, you know, and no, it's like, you're all jumping in. It's just like, okay, we're all in the same sandbox now, let's get in that box, you know, and play. But yes, this actually shows what you just shared is the power of the collective, the unity, the coming together of many of us in one mindset. Beautiful, very powerful. And it is what will bring this world to its peace. Thank you so much. You're a wonderful teacher, Trina. Okay, let's move on now. And we got Rosemary Heyer over there sitting waiting in Germany to say her little piece. Rosemary, where are you?
I'm right here. Hello. Thank you. Well, it was really good to hear Marianne and Trina before, because you clarified more things to me too. And I wrote down something while I was reading that chapter. I wrote that something came to me again. I sort of remember when we talked about the elephant and how we can see the elephant from one perspective and we think, oh, it's not an elephant. It's like just a long tail. I saw a long tail and I only see a foot or something like that. What came to me is that this chapter is basically saying, you choose and you can actually see the elephant from several positions simultaneously, and you make a choice what you want to see. And it underlines everything he has been saying before. For example, hello?
She's can frozen in a parallel, guys. Can you see that?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can see her and she's moving. You're frozen
in a
parallel. Yeah. She looks okay.
You can't hear me? Let me see.
Can you hear me? Rosemary, it's grandmother we can't hear.
Pardon?
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. The elephant, to see the elephant from different positions at the same time. And the other idea which came to me is that, remember how we're talking about that there's only one reality and that is your own reality. And so you make the choice what kind of reality you have based on where you come from, what you're thinking. And that was another thing which struck me in the whole book is, and it got more clear somehow with this chapter, even though he's not covering it directly, the idea of self-mastery, that you really can only understand something if you also master your in here. Because otherwise you just limit it to this 1%, you know, like what your senses get and what matter is. And you can only understand something if you go in the imaginal. And you really have to go into the imaginal in this chapter. And I love that box. And I just decided I'm going to make a copy and I'm hanging it up on my desk. So it reminds me that I always have thousands of possibilities simultaneously to the same situation. I can always make a choice to see it differently. I can always make the choice to see it differently. And that's what empowers me about this part, that also I can go beyond time. That is the idea we talked about before, that there's no time to manifest something, because if it is right there by your choice, it's not this laborious thing of time and action, matter to matter, but it's a choice. And just as a reminder, because I still have to integrate it fully in my life, I'm going to hang up that box and stay tuned to all these possibilities.
I know. Very exciting, isn't it? Very, yeah. Very exciting. And just think of what we're experiencing right now. I'm here in Arizona. You're in Germany. Karina's in Colorado. We have Australia there. We have Montreal there. This distance doesn't exist. And right now, we have totally squished that distance so that there's no miles or time space between us, because right now we can actually see each other. And when we begin to understand how computerization and technology has brought the reality of quantum physics right in our face, okay, literally right in our face, all you have to do is relax and just ponder on it. You know, like I know you spent many years, all of you, as well as me. I don't think I spent as much time in books as you have, but definitely my share. Okay. And you don't have to do that. You just have to get in front of a computer and pick some beautiful pictures, like Marianne has that beautiful yellow plant in her background and stuff like that. And just sit there for a while gazing at it and let your mind go anywhere. And you're jumping parallels faster than you could possibly think. And in that, what's happening to your body? What's happening? What's going on in your altar? There's all kinds of lightning and thunder, like what you would see in the outer world in a storm. All of that's happening inside of us as we're jumping those universes and those parallels. And our chemistry is dancing all over the place. It actually creates cellular stimulus. So, you know, it's a matter of, yes, we're very diligent people. I know all of you share that with me. You're very diligent people, and we're the doers, and we definitely are the activists, okay? But there's those times when you need to just let it go and stare off into the distance and just travel at warp speed and let it happen. I had a wonderful experience yesterday when we were out picking up some items, and I saw this beautiful crystal, and of all places to see it was in a grocery store. And I pick it up and I'm looking at it, and I don't realize how often I talk to God. I talk out loud, okay? And so I'm looking at that and I said, what do you think of that? You know, and I'm looking at it and it's like, did you see that? There's that green in there. And there was this little boy with his mother. And he said to his mother, he said, that lady's talking to herself. And I loved it because my granddaughter Taylor spoke up and says, no, she's not. She's talking to God. She always talks to God. And the little kid said, oh, so God's real? And it was so cool how it went about, you know, so cool. And he said to me, so can I talk to him? And I said, everywhere around us, go right ahead, say what you want to. And all he said, God love him, is I love you. And it was so beautiful and so moving, so innocent, so pure. And in that moment, why I share that, guess how many parallels between the four of us, his mom here and me and Taylor, we're jumping because each of us are individual in our experience. How many parallels were we jumping at that time? I know I went through millions, okay? And when I heard what he said, I just very simple, I love you. And there was no question, well, why do you mean you love him? How come you love him? What do you love? You know, nothing like that. It was just absolute. And so those are the experiences that we start having when you now understand what the appendix here is telling you. It's going on all the time. It's going on in everything you're doing. So then you just make more happy times. That's why I tell you all the time, all good things, because that's exactly what you can live. And it's a happy thing. Now let's move on. I think we've got Geraldine somewhere tucked in back there.
Yes. And
it's you, your background, you're out in space and traveling above the earth. That's fantastic.
And the really interesting parallel of it is that I'm actually in a hospital waiting room, and it's so beautiful here. It's really tranquil. And on the wall in the waiting room, they have a whole vista of mountains and clouds and distance, and the television is not on the news. It just keeps flashing photos of nature, and it shows the photos of the different types of jobs that people do in the hospital. And it says, I'm a, you know, janitor, this is my role, I'll be in this uniform, you can see me, I'm in blue, I'm this. So it clears up any misunderstandings that people might have about who are all these different people in uniforms and how do they help? And they all speak from the perspective of the patient. Like, I'm here to help you do this. I'm the physio. My role is to help you regain. And I'm just sitting here going, I like this parallel.
Yeah, yeah. I'm there
this
with you.
This is good. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
The key thing that the appendix that jumped out, I'll just read it. It's a couple of lines. And it fits with what's been shared already. Thus, the world depends on you and what you communicate to others. It also depends on what you believe is real. If the many worlds interpretation is real, then you exist in more than one world, and every event in every universe affects you. More than that, you affect everything else in all of these universes in truly countless ways. Even when I read that again, my heart, I can actually feel it on my sternum there, pumping harder. It's like there's a truth in that.
Tell them what page you're on, Geraldine.
That's the last page of the appendix, the last paragraph, page 152, the very end before you get to end notes.
Yep, how he concludes, absolutely. When you take time like you do in the forest, do you ever take things like this with you and just, you know, maybe you've memorized a few of them, or maybe you've just got them tucked in a little card. And when you're out in nature, how many worlds are you flipping through when you're in a place like that? Because when you just read those words, I felt those words. You went right to the core of my being. So you're already touching and moving space-time with me and all of us, whoever else is reacting with you. Do you ever find that in your forest when you're out there?
Absolutely. The other place I found it is when I go for a swim and I come out of the ocean. And when I'm in the ocean and my ears are under and only my face is up looking at the blue sky, it's an out of this world experience. And then when I come back on the sand and again, I lie down and look up at the sky and I realize I'm not seeing blue. And I just think, what am I seeing? I'm seeing, and then what comes, because I usually have this book with me when I have those moments, I see that shift from possibilities, which is anything, because when you look at the blue sky, there's nothing there. There's not a sky. There's not a ceiling. It's possibilities. And then the knowledge from the book, okay, make that now into probabilities and then make that now into actual. And it's seeing that blue sky. And another thing you shared with us recently about looking at those drawings, those images that are made for you to look at and see the 3D pop out of them, the ones where you unfix your eyes, having that along with this book. I mean, it says the world depends on you and what you communicate to others and what you believe is real. And recently I was looking at one of those and a butterfly pops out of the middle and I move it back and go, wow, that's really cool. And then I like close my eyes again and say, now do it without needing to move the phone and the image close and far. And there were two butterflies nested inside each other. And then it went away again. And then I was pondering, wow, so if that looks so 3D, and I know this is actually flat, when I look back out into the world and the rocks and the cliffs, is that the same sort of hologram? Look, when I look at this picture, it's so real to me that there are two butterflies, yet before it was so real that there was one. And then I thought, well, if it's a repeated pattern, maybe there could be three butterflies. And there were three butterflies nested in each other. And I look back into the world and it was sort of that one of those moments where you go, okay, I am really playing a movie out there through my eyes and my senses, and it is beautiful. And even when there are potential events that could cause much stress and you have people around you move into it for a moment, that responsibility we have to respond with ability. And you could run through, and it's okay, knowing it's okay for the brain to run through every scenario of the worst possibility, the best possibility. And the book has told us what actually becomes this parallels reality is that which we attach the greatest emotion to and visualize. So it's okay to see all of them and then go, okay, this is the one I choose, and to feel it and be it in such a way. And again, this book and previous books on Quantum Leap Book Club that allow us to know it's our DNA sets the field that then others can step into. So not only do we work with ourselves, like this chapter says, you know, world depends on you and what you communicate. So in terms of if there's been, you know, a situation that could have multiple outcomes, that you say, you know, this person is doing really well, or, you know, an outcome of a situation is this. That's the reality of seeing this book real. So, yeah, that last paragraph really stood out because I've been feeling it, and I've been moments where I've sat next to myself and gone, okay, what script are you writing? It's your film. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're all the roles, you know, you're all the roles and you're playing each of the characters. It's fantastic. It's really beautiful. Yeah. And I thank you for sharing that. And, you know, like right now, especially with us doing the Quantum Book Book Club program each week, we're starting to do the podcast, and this particular recording will also become a podcast. And that's how important what you just shared, that what you're focusing on and what you're sharing and what you're communicating has to be more than the words of this book. That's why I've asked you to say it in your own way and your own experience, is because that's what makes it alive. It's simply two dimensions when you look at it on the paper and the words. And it becomes multidimensional when you begin to feel it and put life and meaning to it. And that's everything we do. If just the five of us dedicate ourselves, as we have been doing each week, okay, and actually put our heart to it and just want to share what's meaningful to us out of what we're reading and helping encourage you to get in the book deeper and have your own experiences, we are doing the greatest love that could ever exist. That is what love is, the oneness of actually sharing what is good, what is pure, what is enhancing of life. And you're doing that. I love the five of you dearly. You're as close to me as ever a child I could give birth to is, as well as a reflection of myself. And when we look at this final words that he gives us is exactly the mission statement we need to have on all of the programs, communications, and things that we share with others. We're sharing our love of each other. We're sharing a relationship that in some cases as long as 30 years now. And yet we still have time, and we make time in all our busy lives to include all of our listeners in the rest of the world. This is who you are, and you're unique and beautiful in yourself. It's been great sharing this book with you again. Really and truly, it's been great sharing this book with you again. Okay, and so now we move on. And I know, Joyce, you've been really excited and wanting to share whatever conclusion you got out of this book. So it's all yours, Joyce. Go for it.
It was very exciting to read this appendix. I read it twice, and I went sentence by sentence the second time. And the light bulbs that went bang, 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 all through the whole appendix was just absolutely fabulous. So I ended up actually writing a formal thing here that I want to read. Wonderful. Because I was just so excited. As we come to completing our studies of Mind into Matter by Dr. Fred Wolf, he leaves us with an amazing challenge. Through his book, with the use of the Hebrew glyphs, he has led us to examine the existence of all life and the interaction of our personal experiences on everything in the universe, along with the effects we receive and the effects we cause in the role of observer. In the closing paragraph, and certainly Geraldine's already covered it very well, but I found it so powerful. He leaves us with a summary of the essence of the book's message. And I put it in first person. And from a previous time when we studied this book, I've got the note written, read this every day. So I now have it on a card that I will read every day. And I'm going to read it now in the first person. So this is how it goes. The world depends on me and what I communicate to others. It also depends on what I believe is real. With the many worlds theory, I exist in more than one world, and every event in every universe affects me. I affect everything else in these universes in truly countless ways. So those words are absolutely fabulous, and I definitely will have them part of my life. So in contemplating this final message, I realize the importance and value of every living being and the deep truth that each of us matters. And I intend to, starting tonight, to read a few pages every single night so that until I've read this book all over again one more time, because I know I can go even deeper than what I achieved today. And it was very exciting.
That's right. That's the truth. I like the fact that throughout what Trina had actually brought together too, is when you go through the book, and for those of you who have your book, please turn to like page 147 in the appendix, okay? And here he gives the example of what Trina actually shared with us in pictures, and the showing each eye being an observer, and how it all begins to become more powerful with each set of eyes, with the addition of another set of eyes, another perspective. And so when there's so many times when we first start with the seeking, and like I deal with a great number of people that are definitely, you know, on the beginning of their journey, and they're trying to comprehend all of these things that are way outside the body consciousness, right? That they're not the body, that they're this, that they're that, and they start looking at it. And then like they say, well, you know, how can that be? Because, you know, it's like, this is real. I can touch it. Okay. Yes, you could touch it. But you're not touching it the way you think you're touching it. It's just energy, you know, reacting and vibrating to energy. And that when we actually begin to realize, so how come we can sit in a room and it can have all kinds of wonderful decor? You will see the decor different in some way than me, but we will all see the same decor, especially if the mindset of the person who we walked into the room with has already set it up. And so this is how important it is that you understand this, that you can be the beginning of the change. You can be the beginning of this change, the shift. You can be the beginning of the love. You are the word of peace. and that you create that environment, and as others walk into it, it becomes more powerful. So that each one that comes into that vision or into that reality, so to say, that becomes more powerful. And so like what we do, especially as our organization, the Learning Center for Human Development, we go out, and that's exactly what we do, is invite other people to step into the reality that we create, which is definitely one to learn, to extend ourselves to a greater knowing, and to find unity and peace in that. That's who you are. And it doesn't matter where you're at and where you walk, where your feet is touching soil, you become the teacher there. And when you learn that, then you begin to realize that you are performing, not in a false or a pretentious way, but you are performing constantly. Even when there's not another set of eyes there, there are all sorts of parallel worlds that have eyes upon you when you think you're in empty space. So there's never a time that we are not involved in what we're doing. It's always there. You can't even lay down and sleep, because in the sleep, what do? You go through the different mind patterns and you end up in Delta. And usually you hover in Theta for a while, and then you go into Delta and you leave the body, and then you're into a world where the parallels are the most natural place for you to reside. And how much of that are we living? You know, that's why I say you want to look around and realize, be aware, observe, learn how to observe without inclusion, without getting yourself involved in what you're looking at. And with all the madness and the insanity that's swarming around, and all of the horrendous emotional stuff that's being thrown out there, you know, be very, very guarded and aware of yourself and what's going on inside you, because what's going on inside of you is going to affect that to a better level of outcome. So just stay focused on who you are. Stay on. Whenever I see it around me and it gets very intense, this is when I pull out I'll have a little crystal or I'll have a stone. I can even remember times to where I needed to find something real quick to focus on, because there was just total hysteria and terror going on around me. And I had a little bracelet on that Therese had given me it's little charm bracelets, and it's got charms that there are momentums of some other time and something. And I just started going through my charm bracelet and realizing the story that was in it, and shut off everything that was happening around me. And I can't tell you how much time I did that. It would seem like a very long time to me, but from the report of the people with me, it was only split seconds. And immediately, everything that was going on around me stopped. Everything slowed down. Everybody stopped. People started looking around. The fighting and the hitting and the hurting each other stopped. And they were all looking like they were looking for something. They weren't looking for me. They were looking for what I was attracting. They had come to themselves. And that's what we can do. We can reflect that. And any one of us, anyone listening, you don't have to be born to be this exceptional anybody. We're all exceptional. Every one of us exceptional. Every one of us are healers. You do not have to go to a healer. You are a healer. Just begin to accept what you're doing with it. I remember scriptures, and I remember all the prophets. Every one of them in their own way would ask of the one that was requesting for healing if they were willing to accept and if they would take of the healing. And what that's symbolically saying and very actually saying, are you ready for this? Will you accept it? Because it's always there. It's the table that's always set. It's the table that's always inviting. It's the meal that is continually prepared. And that's healing. And our world needs all of us focusing on that right now. Dr. Wolf has given us wonderful, powerful, what I would consider juxtapose us right into where we need to be, in the center of the universe, and knowing that we reside there. And that as people come into the transition of leaving the body into spirit, that we understand the celebration of that. And that we move to understanding that when each new baby is born, we need to send it forward with wonderful gifts and wonderful blessings to actually nurture it through its bewilderment of understanding itself as a being and as a body. There's so much that we are. Let us make sure that we're very generous with it. because it doesn't amount to anything until you've given it. Generosity is the track and is the path to enlightenment. So give of yourself generously. Is anyone wanting to share some other little details in that? We've got a few more minutes left.
Yes, this is Rosemary. I would love to share about just something clicked to me when you said observe without getting involved. And that is basically the same idea he's sharing when he talks about the overlap and the interference. When he says, don't get involved seeing a box or face up, face down, but rather just see the gray pieces in a white background. So you're not seeing, you're not fixated to some kind of sight you're taking or some kind of involvement, but you are in the overlap. Everything is possible and you're not seeing the elephant just from one position. So it's the same thing as like what he's talking about. And that's actually a key thing in this chapter that he's trying to say that, and I was actually looking at the box and was trying to see the gray pieces. Of course, that doesn't work if you try to see the gray pieces. You have to just, as you said, gaze and let go and move into that other imaginal realm. And then you are in that overlap in that everything is possible. And there isn't one side and one involvement and one idea and one position. Good for us Germans, anyway. We are always a little bit fixated.
Very good. Mary, do you have anything you would like to add and share with us?
If not, yes. Yes, I do. In reading, my big aha in reading through again was I see that this is actual a manual, a practicum he's given us, like on page 147 with the eyes. So that was the aha in the appendix. We can sit and look at ourselves and then sit and look at ourselves. Well, what does that person see me as? Or what is this, keep bringing it out. And I realized, okay, so if something I said I want hasn't happened, I can go to my four axiom of desires and then his wheels that he has. So he's got the thinking, the sensing, the feeling, etc. And he's got the elements. And then over here, he's got hot, cold, wet, dry. And I realized, okay, so I can sit as an observer of where I'm at and see, okay, where do I think I might have been out? But then I can also see what's the entire world reflecting back to me. So if my thinking's not clear, I can come over here and see, is everything too dry? Is everything too wet? Where am I at with clarifying? What actual physical thing can I do right now? Little Newton there. To make a shift for me, my feeling, okay, so do I have my earth and my fire and my water? You get what I'm talking about. Do I have that present? Is this like something, have I got my ingredients in my cake to the percentages to make it the outcome I want? And he really does show us the way to do that.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I have to share an experience with him. In traveling, actually ending up very close in a vehicle with him and traveling. And we happened to have like three children that were there with us. And of course, after he had gotten through speaking, somebody walked up and gave him a flower. And it was a rose, beautiful rose. It looks perfect how the petals were curved and everything. And the children were looking at it and going, ooh, and ah, and how beautiful it was and everything. And this is how spontaneous Wolf is, okay? He looked around and there was probably about six of us in this particular vehicle. And he took the rose and he just tore it right off of the stem. And therefore he had this handful of petals. And then he gave each one of us a petal. And he says, now, in reality, you have the whole rose in your hand. Enjoy it, close your eyes, travel with it. And we all did. And it's like, I had no problem having the rose just reconstruct itself in my hands and in my mind and heart and everything. But what was amazing is that the children just kept going, oh, oh, wow, oh, 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 yeah, I did it, and just innocent moments that we allow the child, the eternal child that we are, to know no matter how old we are, how young we are still in the process of discovery. And to allow ourselves to have those moments, to have those beautiful moments, you know, to know that just recently, yesterday, we had a winter storm that comes. Usually we have 2 or 3 weeks close to February that we experience some winter here, if not cold temperatures, a little bit of snow or whatever. And we got, you know, a good skirt of snow, but it lasts about a day and most of it's all gone. Okay. And so out of that, I go out in the sanctuary. And when I'm out there and getting through the meditation, I realized, oh my gosh, we didn't cover the plants. And I realized, okay, so what drew your attention to that? There was one tiny, tiny, little tiny red flower that if I wanted to compare it to something, I'd have to compare it to a beautiful, full, like 3 or 4 inch lily. You know how big the lilies will get when they open up. This little tiny flower looked like a shrunk up, like a microscopic level example of that lily. And it was, its voice was, had poked out from the snow and was like saying, it's cold under here, you know? And it was like, oh my God, we got to get this stuff off of this. You know what I mean? But it was so real that when everything was cleared away in that, and I went back out just to make sure everything was doing well. Okay. Underneath the plastic, okay, that had been put across to protect the rest of it and everything, and the snow all removed off of it, there was this one little flower that had fallen off of its stem, and it was the little flower that poked through the snow. So I've got it in the house. Now this is its third day. You have to understand this is the third day, and it's still as fresh as the first day it peeped its little head out of the snow. These are realities of us. You know, this isn't my experience alone. Each one of you, as I share this experience, you could relate. It goes in. This is how connected we are. Whether you're seeing us through Zoom right now, or you're hearing us through the podcast, or just through the audio part of this, you just journeyed with that. You saw the snow. You saw the little flower. This is who's real. Put all of the confusion away and just live this beautiful moment. And know that in this moment, you have everything and are everything. As Dr. Wolf says, what we communicate is exactly what we are. And it's beautiful to be with like-minded. Okay, we have a few more minutes. Mike, you have something else you would like to share?
Actually, I kind of was making some notes. I've just been tripping listening to all these interesting people have different perspectives, and it just gives me a new look each time. And I'm just sitting here taking it all in. But I made a couple of notes, and one of the, I think it was Mary Ann right at the beginning, was talking about the outcomes. And I remember, and I went back in the book and I found that it's on page 104, where he explains the whole thing about once you decide on the end point, yeah, there's a lot of different paths. They all come together. But once you've got the beginning and the end, all the paths are set.
That's right.
So at that point, you just focus on the end point. And that's why people have always said, focus on the end point, focus on the end point, because nothing else can really knock you off. No matter how hard it hits you, you're still going to be on a path that gets you there. So
that's right.
Mary Ann said something that kind of triggered that image in me, and I wrote it down. And then right after that, you started talking about the effect of having more than one person, or I think it was Trina who started, about more than one makes the reality even stronger and stronger. So I'm going, okay, so we take this endpoint thing, and now we add the community effect to it, and it's like a double whammy. You've got like two of the best things going for you.
So yeah, yeah.
It was all falling together for me. So I thought that's pretty cool. And then, Trina, I've come up with I think we should use the box symbol as the symbol for your new political party that you're putting together, which is obviously centrist. And I think we should call it the stitching party, as it stitches things from. So this is all coming. This is coming to me while I'm listening to you also. Go figure. The last thing was, as I was reading the appendix, he talks about the Copenhagen effect and this whole observer thing. And recently, like I said, I've been watching a lot of Nassim's stuff. And Nassim has the best explanation of the observer effect and how it works. If you can watch it on Gaia, he explains not only that it's there, but why it's there. It's so brilliant. And it just makes it all come together. So, and he even talks about how Niels Bohr, when he put this together, kind of thought, this doesn't make sense. So I'll just kind of throw it out there as a paper and hopefully somebody smarter than me will figure this out. And everybody's been running with it ever since. So it's kind of interesting to see a little bit the different slant. But anyway, it's cool. So it got me thinking, I guess.
I love it because when there's actually some people I know that are very close to Nassim, and they have these particular organization calls and everything. And I was actually invited to be on one of them. And he starts out when he's talking to his people that he says, "I appreciate that you created me in your reality." Mm-hmm. Isn't that, you know, I mean, that's living your reality. That's living it when you actually say that, knowing what you're saying, that each one of us is letting him in.
I love the way he chooses his words so carefully. So you know that whatever he's saying, he's really thought about it. And he paints pictures that are so easy to understand. I mean, it's genius. Really brilliant.
Genius, absolute genius, yeah. Pure genius. And you know, I've been places to where people have had him, heard him talk, and they make mention of his speech impediment. And I never, ever realized he had a speech impediment. And then when it come to my attention, it sounds like it's a little accent to me. You know, my looking at it, look, I see it as like how he talks. There seems to be a hint of an accent, but I never saw it as an impediment. And it's just like, again, how we all look from where we look to see it and how many ways we see that elephant. You know, it's like the last thing in the world that I had any reality of is that there was a speech impediment. You know, I think that's what you're saying on how he talks. He does articulate his words very, very well and everything, but mm-hmm. he's so clear. And when he does it, I love how he talks about the spinning, that, you know, how everything that's real is actually spinning so fast. Well, that's what you're doing. So whenever you're in a place where we're growing or coming to something very quickly, you're going to have dizziness. And everybody thinks you're getting sick. Well, you're having dizziness because you're progressing now at another rate and speed. You know, it's so great.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned his accent, because when I first heard him, I said he's from Quebec. And when I looked up his history, he actually comes to Montreal and skis, likes to ski here and has been here and lived here. And that's the accent you're picking up. There's a little Quebec accent in there that gives him that twang. It was funny when I heard it. I think he's from Quebec. And she said, no, he's Egyptian or something.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's really cool. And I love listening to him. I really do. And you know what? I never, since the very first time I've seen Nassim, I see the little boy that he used to be. He's never become a man to me. There's this little boy face there, this little genius, you know, galactic genius that's in there, that when he talks, I know his mother had to love him. Just love him and his little face and how he talks and expresses himself. And I realize as he talks to himself, I see him going through all these very youthful, childish plays because he loves what he does and he brings play and the nature in it, doesn't he? And it's just wonderful.
Okay.
Now we're off. We've gone off of Wolf here and we've got to go back. So Marianne, you want to give us a few kind words in closing? What do you want to add here to close up?
I just think this teaches us the beautiful innocence. If we just simply hold this and just dream up our reality, we can all live in this, I don't know, we can all just have this beautiful life. And I really, it teaches me the value of teaching and passing this information on, because if someone lives so deeply in poverty, they're also incredibly wealthy. They just don't know it and they're not experiencing it, but they're equally wealthy. And so I just think they need assistance like we all do, just living it by focus, and that's through education. So it's really enforced as well my value on teaching and education, just to teach, share this beauty and innocence with people.
Yes. I have a little thing I want to share again on poverty. Okay, you know how well I traveled the world and everything, and we were actually in Africa. And the village that we were in, they have no modernization. They live totally off of what they can collect. And there are days that they eat very lean. I mean, you know, because the massive number of them, by the time they harvest a place, it's pretty barren, right? And I watched how generous they were. And I realized all the people that were with me, we are looking at it and we're seeing poverty. We're experiencing it as poverty, right? And so they put this, everything they put out so elegantly, and like there was so much abundance of it. And we all realized that what they were offering us meant some of them weren't going to have something. You know what I mean? So we were all trying to compensate from that. And this beautiful, beautiful, gentle grandfather come and put his hand on my arm and said, "Look where I'm looking. The universe supplies us." And so he sensed us all seeing the scarcity. And he wanted us to see that our arrival and us coming to them, and this was all that we had an abundance here. And I can tell you, we all ate of the nuts and the different things that they served us, and everybody was full. So again, how we use our words and how you stimulated the experience with the word poverty, we need to see everything in abundance. Even when we think there is scarcity, it is still present. So how did Jesus make the fishes and the loaves of bread serve the multitudes? Obviously, by not thinking he only had eight fishes, right? Seven or eight fishes. So it's still up to us, isn't it? Still us calling the game and naming the field. All right, it's wonderful. And I'm totally, totally happy that you all joined me again with Wolf's book. And if you get a chance, send him a little note on through email or something and tell him that again, we come by his little book and that again, we found many other doors that we had not discovered before. Okay. And he'll like hearing that. And we will start our book next week. Somebody have the name of it because I don't have it with me right here. Something about the earth, inside the earth. Anybody have the new books?
Inside the Earth, the Second Tunnel. And yes. Trina, is it by? You've got it there.
Got it right there.
There you go, Inside the Earth. Okay, you already have the book, Trina. That's fantastic. Okay, this is going to be a different experience for us. We've been studying science in this one. So basically, we've had a textbook. The next book that we've done is going to challenge all of us as co-hosts, because now we have to become the drama queens and actually the entertainers and the actresses. And we have to project and we have to role model and we have to tell you the story with our face, our arms, our face and everything. So we expect to have a lot of fun through the next book. You come and join us again. This is Quantum Leap Book Club, and we're delighted that you walked into our reality, okay? And we will see you next week. Osio.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.